Let's read together this evening, or this morning, Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. We read this in connection with Lord's Day 39 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 39 is an explanation of the fifth commandment of God's law. The Word of God at Romans 13, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to them damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. In that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." So far we read the inspired Word of God. It's on the basis of Romans 13 and in harmony with all of the Scriptures that we have the instruction of the Catechism in Lord's Day 39. Lord's Day 39, one question and answer, 104. What doth God require in the fifth commandment? The fifth commandment being, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." The answer is this, that I show all honor, love and fidelity to my father and mother and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weakness and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, April 15 is approaching very quickly. Those of you who are children probably don't know what April 15 is all about, but those of us who are adults know exactly what April 15 is all about. It's not a national holiday like July 4 or December 25, but we know April 15. April 15 is tax day, and all of us probably have that on our mind in one way or another. Some of us may be done with taking care of our taxes, others may be dealing with it right now, or others may still have to deal with it. But the reality remains that on our minds right now, likely, is the fact that we are citizens of the state of Michigan and we are citizens of the United States of America. And with that comes a certain responsibility. We have the responsibility to submit ourselves to the government that is over us, obey that government in all ways that is in harmony with the law of God. And one of our most serious responsibilities as it relates to our being citizens is the responsibility to pay our taxes. It's appropriate, therefore, to consider Lord's Day 39 at this time on the fifth commandment of God's law. When we do the work of paying our taxes or making sure that someone else takes care of that for us, we are going forth in obedience to the fifth commandment of the law of God. We come this morning to the fifth commandment, which is the beginning of the second table of God's law. We just finished a treatment of the first table of God's law, the first four commandments, which deal specifically with our relationship to God. Those first four commandments are summarized in the words, "Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength." Now we begin the fifth commandment, which starts a consideration of our responsibility towards our neighbor. And the way in which that second table of the law begins is by looking at this commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. But we use as our theme this morning, honor all in authority. And we do that because we are going to branch it out beyond father and mother, and especially this morning look at our responsibility towards the government. So that's the theme of the sermon this morning, honor all in authority. 2 points to the sermon. In the first place, God-given authority, and then in the second place, our calling. God-given authority and then our calling. As I said a moment ago, I'd like to focus in the sermon this morning on our responsibility as citizens of the state and country towards the government. That's a legitimate application of the fifth commandment of God's law. The fifth commandment, in its narrowest application, is exactly what we have it in the words of the commandment itself, honor thy father and thy mother. But as we know, with all of the commandments, you can branch out from what is stated explicitly in the commandment itself. So that when we consider the fifth commandment, it's not just a word to us who are children in our relationship to our parents, but it's a word about authority and the responsibility that we have to submit to all who are in authority over us. The answer that the Catechism gives indicates that clearly. What doth God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother. So obviously it touches on the essence of it, but then it goes on to say, and all in authority over me. And included in that all in authority over me is the government that stands over us as citizens of the state and country. And we can use still what we have in the answer to the Catechism. The answer that the Catechism gives focuses on our relationship to parents. And most of what it says there applies most directly to that. But when we think about our relationship to those who are in the government over us, many of these things still apply very directly. We need to honor those in authority. We need to, as the Catechism says, submit to their authority with due obedience. We need to patiently bear with their weaknesses, and we need to understand, as the end of the Catechism says, that it pleases God to govern us by their hand. So the focus is going to be on that aspect of the fifth commandment. The other reason that I'd like to focus on that responsibility that we have is due to the fact that not so long ago I preached on Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. You'll notice in the side of the Catechism that Ephesians 6, verse 1 and 2 is listed there as one of the main texts in support of the answer that the Catechism gives. That's because Ephesians 6, 1 and 2 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth." Not so long ago, in connection with a couple of baptisms, I expounded the beginning of Ephesians 6. And so in light of that, which really was a sermon on this commandment of God's law, I'd like to shift the focus to the broader application that we have as citizens of the state and country. First thing that we need to understand then as we consider this is the fact that God has invested in the government real authority over us. And it's for that reason that we read this morning Romans chapter 13. I'd like to begin by looking at that second statement in Romans 13, verse 1. It starts off with the exhortation, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." But then it says this, that second statement, "For there is no power but of God." An explanation of any aspect of the fifth commandment must begin with that truth, that all power, all authority resides in God alone. God has that power and God has that authority very simply because He is God. That's part of what it means to be God. God has created everything. God has given life to everything on this earth and to all men. God is sovereign. And as the sovereign God over absolutely everything, what that means is that He is all-powerful and in Him is all authority. That's why Jesus later would say in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, these words, Matthew 28, verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." It's part of the fruit of the work of Jesus Christ. He accomplished that work perfectly, of going to the cross, dying, rising from the dead, and going to God's right hand. And God, therefore, rules and has all authority in and through Jesus Christ. But the main point here is what Romans 13 verse 1 says, there is no power but of God. Now to understand the fifth commandment, we need to also make a distinction between the word power and the word authority. In the Catechism, the focus is on the word authority, that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother and all in authority over me and submit myself to their good instruction and so forth. Then we come to Romans 13, verse 1, and it uses the word power in the English. The fact is, however, that the better translation of Romans 13, verse 1 would be the word authority. A better rendering of the verse would be, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher authorities, for there is no authority but of God. The authorities that be are ordained of God." And that's an important distinction as we strive to understand this fifth commandment. There is a difference between authority and power. Authority is the right to rule over someone else, with the expectation that those over whom you rule will submit to that rule and obey you. Authority is the right to do that. Power is something different. Power is strength. Power is the ability to actually make someone do something by the strength that you have as an individual. To illustrate this, let's use the example of a mother. Mothers have authority. What that means is that mothers, in their life in the home, in their relationship with their children, have the right to rule over them, and they have the right to expect that their children, as young children or as teenagers, will obey them and submit to them and give them honor as the one over them. So a mother in the home has real authority. But the fact is that a mother may not always have power. Power in the sense that she is strong and has the ability by that power to make sure that the children actually do in fact listen and submit to her. In fact, a mother oftentimes can be weak. children, young people, can be stronger than and have more power than a mother. But that doesn't take away from the fact that that young person still has the responsibility to honor mother and submit to mother. And the reason is that it doesn't have anything to do with power, how strong she is. It has everything to do with authority. She has the right given to her by God to rule over you and expect obedience in all things in harmony with God's Word. So you see the difference between power and authority. And now we come back to Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and following. And we see that the idea here is authority. God gives authority to the government that rules over us. God gives the government the right to rule over us, and therefore we as citizens must submit to that rule. And it doesn't matter how powerful they are. They may be very, very powerful, or they may not be very powerful depending on what government is over us. But in the end, that doesn't matter. They have that right given to them by God. And that's the point of Romans 13, verse 1. The powers that be are ordained of God. The powers that be, the authorities that are in this world, are ordained or set in order or arranged by God. God has all power and all authority. There's the difference, by the way. God has all of both. He has the right and, as the sovereign God, has actual power. But in Him is all of it. And He sets in order on this earth certain people in certain spheres that exercise that same authority. In the sphere of the home, which is the most basic unit in this world, God gives that authority to mother and father. In the sphere of the church that we find ourselves in right now, God gives that authority to the office bearers, elders, deacons, and pastor. And then in the sphere of the state and the country, God gives that authority to the government that is over us. And beloved, that needs to be our starting point when it comes to our thinking and acting towards the government that is over us. It needs to be Romans 13, verse 1. And it needs to start with God, that in God is all power and authority, and that God invests in certain individuals and institutions real authority according to His will. And that right there is highlighted for us in what verse 2 says of Romans 13. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, or the authority, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Beloved, that is the seriousness of what we are talking about as it relates to our responsibility towards the government. And obviously Romans 13 is talking about the government that is over us. You resist that authority, and there are many ways in which we can resist that authority, one of which is not to obey them in all things lawful according to God's Word. If you resist that authority, God says in His Word this morning that you are resisting the ordinance of God. And any time we resist the ordinance of God, in effect, we are resisting God Himself. God is the expression of, the law of God is the expression of who God is. You resist that ordinance, and it's a resisting of God Himself. And then the strong statement after that, they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That, I say again, needs to be our starting point. What must not be our starting point when it comes to our relationship to the government that is over us is the thoughts in our minds that it is altogether corrupt and the persons that are in those positions of government are altogether sinful. I think too often when we think about those who are over us in the government, the first thing that we think of is not Romans 13, all power in God, they are invested with real authority. But it's this. Look at what they do. Look at how sinful they are. Look at how corrupt they are. Look at how greedy they are. And look at the path that our nation is on right now and our state is on as a result of their ungodliness and that corruption. When we think about the President of the United States of America, Barack Obama, what is the first thing that we think about? We think about all of the things we don't like about him as a man and what he has done in his position as the President of our country. And the problem with that being our starting point is that it makes us feel justified sometimes in the way that we think about the government, in the way that we talk about the government, and the way that we sometimes act towards the government. When we think about the president or other rulers, and all we do is focus on that corruption and that greed, which is there, no doubt about it. It makes us feel justified in the way that we think about them, which is often without respect, and in a way that brings them down instead of honoring and submitting as we are called to do in Romans 13, verse 1. Now, to help us understand this, we can remember the people to whom Paul wrote Romans 13. He wrote this to Roman citizens that were under a government, just like you and I are under a government. And if you know anything about the government that they were under at the time that Paul wrote this, inspired by the Spirit, you understand that there are striking similarities to the government that we find ourselves under right now. This was the government that, shortly after Paul writing this, would unleash one of the greatest persecutions against Christians that has ever taken place. This is the government that promoted all sorts of godlessness, homosexuality and prostitution. This is the government that was so corrupt and that had men in it that were so vile that they would be willing to kill their own family members in order to remain in positions of power. This was the government that supported entertainment that took place in a Colosseum that involved the killing of human beings. This was the government that paid the salaries of the very men that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. If there was any time that a people could say, Paul, you don't understand. Paul, you don't understand the nature of this government that is over us and how vile and corrupt and sinful it is and the leaders that are in it. You don't understand that. We can't do this when you understand that that's the nature of the government. If there was ever a people that would be able to respond in that way, it would be these Roman Christians. Paul knew the nature of the government that was over them, but yet Paul writes Romans 13, inspired by the Spirit, and he writes it to us as the church today. The Word of God to the church today is, despite that real corruption and sin, understand this, God has given them real authority. And your calling as Christians is to submit to that authority and obey in all things according to God's Word. And that needs to be our mindset as well as we think about our relationship to those who are over us. So what is our calling? What is our calling in this sphere specifically? Calling in the first place is to honor them. That's the word that's used in the fifth commandment itself. Honor thy father and thy mother. And very closely related to that is the idea of being subject to them. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. It starts right there. That we give honor to those who are over us, and we give that honor by submitting to them. Honor is willfully understanding the position that they are in, and that we therefore are underneath them and must, as those who are underneath them, obey them and respect them for the position that they are in. They are in positions of authority. We honor them by respecting the fact that they are in those positions and by willfully putting ourselves under them and obeying them in all things lawful. Honor is a matter of our hearts. Submitting is a matter of our hearts. When we as children submit to our parents, and in marriage as a wife submits to her husbands, it begins with that recognition and that understanding of one's own self that this is the position I am in. They are over me, and I respect them for the position that they are in over me. We need to honor those in authority, and we need to do that, first of all, in our hearts. And this needs to be a matter of a genuine desire on our part to be faithful to this commandment. This is one of these commandments, and this aspect of it, very, very easily, we can be those who say this in word, but then in deed turn around and disobey this commandment. What is the nature of our conversations when we think about those in authority in the government? Are we really showing honor and respect to those in authority over us when we talk about the president and when we talk about the leaders of our land? Are we really submitting to them in the manner in which we speak about them? And this arises in our hearts in the way that we think about us in relationship to them. I'm not saying that we can't point out the corruption and the sin. We need to. It's part of our Christian life and understanding that. We need to make sure that we speak about them in the right way. That it's not a way that takes away from the real authority and the respect that we need to have for the position that they are in as those who are over us according to the commandment of God. So that in the first place, the calling is to honor them. The second calling that we have towards them is to obey them. Submit to their instruction and correction with due obedience. Now that's talking about in the commandment or in the catechism, our relationship to our parents. But that same idea flows into our relationship with the government. We are called to submit in the way of obedience. Now there are many things potentially in the future where we are not going to be able to obey them concerning. It's contrary to God's law. That's why we need to remember the sermon that I preached not so long ago on Acts, when the disciples said to those in authority over them, understanding this point, we must obey God rather than man. But that doesn't take away from the fact, in all things lawful, we are called to obey those who are over us in the government. And that comes to expression especially in obedience to the laws of the land, and in particular to the calling that we have to pay our taxes. Repeatedly in the Scriptures, Romans 13, and I'll read another passage in a little bit, Matthew 22, that is one of our main responsibilities towards the government. Romans 13 speaks of that at the end in verse 7, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." Another example of that is Matthew 22, 17 and following. Matthew 22, 17 and following. This is the Pharisees who were speaking to Jesus and asked the question, "Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not?" But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites?" So they asked them that question, thinking that they were able to trap Jesus in a wrong response. They thought that if Jesus said that you need to obey those in authority over you, that it would be taking away from the obedience that we owe to God as God. But what does Jesus say? He says this, "Show me the tribute money," verse 19. "And they brought him a penny. And he saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. So these two things are not at odds with each other, and that's the point. Submission and obedience to God, in whom is all authority and power, is not contradicting the idea that we are called to submit and obey to the government. The point is understanding the fact that in God is all authority and power, and it starts with God, and He invests it in certain individuals and institutions here on this earth. And so Jesus says, Render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God's. Beloved, pay your taxes. That's the very simple application here. Pay your taxes. Pay your taxes as conscious Christians in obedience to the fifth commandment of the law of God. Now, a word needs to be said concerning paying them in honesty. And here the fifth commandment and the ninth commandment merge a little bit. But we need to make sure that as believers we are paying them honestly and paying them fully. We are not in a position to determine how much we pay and on what we pay taxes as believers. And this goes back to the main point of the sermon. They are in authority over us. They have that right. We are underneath. And though we may think differently, just as a child may think differently in their relationship to their parents with what the parents are requiring of them, we're not in a position to determine that for ourselves. We're citizens. We're under. And therefore, we obey. We obey in this respect by paying our taxes in full. And we want to obey this commandment. And so we're not going to try willfully to be ignorant about taxes. We don't need to be tax experts, each one of us. But we need to make sure that we're not willfully being ignorant, knowing that in my ignorance, I'm not paying taxes on everything that I should be paying taxes on or anything else related to that. We need consciously to strive to obey this commandment. If the government requires paying tax on all of my income from my employer and paying tax on all of the income that I may have separately outside of my employer on my own, I pay tax on that because the government requires it. And you go right down the line as an individual or as a father in the home or as a business owner. Don't willfully be ignorant in order out of greed to keep more for yourself. Remember the fifth commandment and obey in all things lawful. So the responsibility that we have, our calling, is in the first place to honor, in the second place to obey in all things lawful. Third responsibility that we have towards the government is to pray for them. That's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. The application here is a little bit different, the purpose of the prayer, but there's an element of praying for those in authority over us that helps us follow the first two points that I just made, honoring and submitting. 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, I exhort therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, and then for these in particular, for kings and for all that are in authority. And here's the purpose in this context, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Pray for them. Praying for those in authority over us helps us with respect to the fifth commandment of God's law. When we consciously go before the throne of grace in prayer, we're thinking spiritually about this truth that we're considering right now. We're thinking spiritually about the fact that we are under those in authority. And by lifting up them in prayer, as it relates to 1 Timothy 2, it puts on our minds the fact that I'm underneath them, and they are over me. And this falls under the fifth commandment, and I have a calling to honor and obey those over me. When we're praying for them, it keeps us in the right frame of mind. If we're not praying for them and all we're doing is reading the newspapers and all we're doing is fuming over the corruption and the greed and all of that, it leads to something very different from the responsibility that I just laid out in the second point of the sermon. Pray for them. And may God use that to help us in our calling to honor, submit, and obey those over us. We do this out of our love for God. And we do this out of our thanks for Jesus Christ. The entire law of God has as its beginning, its introduction, God saying to His people, I delivered you out of the bondage and slavery of Egypt, and I brought you into the land of Canaan. The entire law is introduced with the word, I love you in Jesus Christ, and I save you in His precious blood. And now obey me, and now show your thanks to me. Obey the fifth commandment, beloved, out of your love for Jesus and out of your thanks for Jesus Christ. But it's more direct than that. Obey the fifth commandment because you have a desire to honor and to love King Jesus in heaven, in whom is all power and authority. And that right there needs to be our focus as it relates to the gospel and as it relates to the work of Jesus Christ for you and me. When we think about our Savior, we need to know Him as the one who died on the cross, yes, in order to save us. And out of thanks for that, we obey all the commandments. But we acknowledge this morning Jesus Christ as the one who is in heaven, sitting at God's right hand. He is the one, as He said at the end of Matthew 28, in whom is all power and authority. And the way that that translates into our life here on this earth is this way, that when I, as a believer, submit and honor and obey those in authority over me, I am submitting and honoring and obeying and showing my love to and showing my thanks for Jesus Christ in heaven. You understand that, children and young people? When you're disrespectful to your parents, when you don't submit to your parents, it says something about what you think about Jesus who is in heaven. You understand that as members of this congregation. When you don't submit to and obey those in authority over you in the sphere of the church, it says something about Jesus Christ in heaven. And beloved, that is just as true in our relationship as citizens of the state and country, that when we do not in our hearts and in our speech and in our actions submit and honor those in authority over us, it says something about our Savior in heaven in whom is all authority. But the opposite is true as well, and that's what we end with. And that's the way that we need to go forward at this time of the year, especially when it is difficult, and when the devil does tempt us sinfully to think about the government, when we need to pay those taxes as we are called. But we remember this, we think spiritually, that I love my Savior, and I want to honor and obey Him in heaven. And the way that I do this in my life here on earth is by obeying and submitting to those who are over me. May God give us the grace in all of the spheres of our lives, in the home and in the church, and in the state and country, to honor those in authority, and in doing so, honor and love Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, pray for Thy blessing upon the Word as it was brought this morning. Help us to obey all of Thy commandments out of love and thanks, and give us the grace to submit to those who are in authority over us. We thank Thee that Jesus is the one who has all authority and exercises that for the good of us, Thy people. We pray for, again, the forgiveness of our sins. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.